Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios. So because the Preds game was at 5 o'clock on Saturday, I got home around 8 o'clock maybe. And I think there was maybe 11 minutes to go in the first half when I flipped on the Vols in Alabama. And that was a great basketball game on Saturday night. I mean, that was, I have been begging for this when it comes to the SEC. When I was a kid, SEC basketball this time of year ruled the land. And like, yeah, we'll have a gazillion Kentucky fans show up for the SEC basketball tournament in a couple of weeks, but it's not the same. And you all know that. You all know it's just not the same. Like back then, Florida was winning national titles with Billy Donovan. Kentucky was still relevant. Tennessee had Bruce Pearl. Vandy was actually good with Shane Foster and Derek Byers. And it hasn't necessarily been the same. But on Saturday, number 4 Tennessee, number 11 Alabama, it was a war. And Tennessee came out ahead. And they came out ahead with Dalton Kinnick scoring 13 points. Now, Tennessee beat Auburn earlier in the week at home, thanks to Dalton Kinnick's 39 points. And I saw that and kind of brushed it off. Now, Dalton Kinnick looked like Michael Jordan out there on the court against Auburn earlier in the week, but I brushed it off because I believe the Tennessee Volunteers fall into this trap and their fans fall into it every year, which is Tennessee wins a bunch of games at home, a bunch of big SEC games at home. They get this weird sense of security that all of a sudden they're going to be able to go win in March when they play on neutral courts. And then they don't. And you guys know me. I love that every March we have this arc, right? Tennessee fans are excited for basketball because they're number 8 in the country or whatever it may be, and they've won some games, and then Rick Barnes does something like wins the SEC. And Tennessee fans and Joe Rex Rhodes' hopes just skyrocket. You know, every March this time of year, Tennessee fans are screaming on Twitter, mad at Joe Lunardi, because apparently Joe Lunardi every year has them one seed level worse than they think they should be. So if Lunardi has them as a 3, they think they should be a 2. Right now, Lunardi, at least as of yesterday, had them as a 2. They think they should be a 1. Every year it happens. Then they get into the tournament. Everybody who's not a Tennessee fan laughs and says, okay, here comes the Rick Barnes special. Tennessee fans deny it. And then Tennessee loses to Scarbini State wearing the white uniforms. Every year. Folks, I think this year's different. I really do. And it's not about the coach. It's about what I saw Saturday night out of that basketball team on the road. They could beat the 1990 Chicago Bulls at Thompson Bowling Arena. They could beat anybody there. It's apparently the hardest place to play in college basketball. But Saturday's game wasn't at TBA. It was in Tuscaloosa. And that crowd was on fire. And Nick Saban was there, and Justin Thomas was there, and that was a marquee victory. And not only was it a marquee victory on the road in a hostile environment against a good team, but it was without Dalton Kinnick carrying the team to victory. So I think this year really might be different. I truly believe that Tennessee is a national title contender. I really think it. Now, that doesn't mean that I think they're going to win the national championship. But I think they are a title contender. I haven't watched enough of UConn and the rest of the Big East. I haven't seen Arizona play. I don't know anything about Houston other than they're coached by Kelvin Sampson. I don't know anything about that. So I don't know how good Houston is, so what that means for a potential matchup with the Vols. But I do think that when I watch this Tennessee team play, they're not losing to Crap Bum State in the second round of the tournament. Like, if they get one of these, 10 seeds that is a decent school that's having a year, they'll beat them. Like, they're not gonna choke this year. And there's three reasons why this Tennessee basketball team, I think, is different. The first, Dalton Knecht is like the white Michael Jordan. I mean, every single game I watch this guy play, I used to call him Larry Bird. The first game I watched Tennessee play this year, they played North Carolina. I think it was in November. I turned on the TV. I literally clicked the TV, and I'm like, who the hell is this Larry Bird out there? Because this guy is incredible. And I texted Robbie, because you know Robbie's a big UT homer. And I texted Robbie, and I said, who is this Larry Bird that is out there playing for the Vols? And he was like, oh, yeah, that's Dalton Knecht, a new transfer. Joe loves him. I'm like, this guy's awesome. And so I was calling him Larry Bird for the first three-fourths of the season. No, no, no. He's Michael Jordan. And so while Tennessee's had good players before, and they've had good teams before, especially, you know, this Rick Barnes era, I don't think they've ever had this player before. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that Tennessee plays incredible defense. This team, defensively, they did it at Kentucky, and they did it this week against Alabama on the road. First of all, that Adu in the middle of the paint, he is a freaking horse. My dad and I were talking after the game on Saturday, and he said, I don't understand why Alabama kept settling on the perimeter. And I'm like, it's because they can't go inside because Adu is so big and so long that, like, you cannot get a shot over that guy. And then they've got Jemai Mashak out on the perimeter, and I think he is as good of an on-ball defender as anybody maybe in the country. And so when you've got a good defensive team, that travels. And that matters in the NCAA tournament. You can have a bad night shooting the ball. Dalton Knecht had 13 points. You can get in foul trouble. But if you're a good defensive team, and between Adu and Mashak, and that is a good defensive team, if you're a good defensive team, that travels. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is this. On Saturday, and even on, I think it was, what, Thursday when they played Auburn? I can't remember.
Maybe
Thursday,
Wednesday.
Yeah. They played Auburn last week. They play as a team. T-E-A-M. Team. So if Dalton Knecht has to take over a game, every single guy on that team understands. Nobody on that team is worried about, well, Dalton Knecht's getting all the shots. You can see it in how they play. Between the way Ziegler operates, Vescovi when he's in the game, those guys, and sure, I mean, they're getting their shots too. But they are a total team. They know how to play defense. They rebound like a team. I think some of this is because, you know, Ziegler and Josiah Jordan James have been there for about 45 years. I think they were there before the three-point line came into college
basketball.
Vescovi
too.
Those guys, I mean, those guys played with Ernie and Bernie. I mean, that's how long this has been. But they play as a team. And again, I didn't play college basketball, and I'm not claiming to have done this. But I have been with a team that went to the Final Four and went to the national championship game. So I think I can kind of speak on this a little bit. When every single person on a team in college basketball is pulling the rope in the same direction, and everybody on the team understands who the best players are, and everybody in the organization understands why the coach is putting each player in the position he's putting them in. Like, if everybody knows that Jemai Mashak is the best on-ball defender they have, and Rick Barnes puts him in the game, Vescovi is not going to sit on that bench, and he is not going to complain about why Mashak is in the game. He understands. If every shot is going to Dalton Knecht, they understand. When I was at Louisville in 2009, that was how we were built. And we ended up in the national championship game. And nobody, once we got into the tournament, nobody didn't understand the rotation, didn't understand what their job was, didn't understand what their role was. And we had a true superstar. Now, Angel McCautry on that team went number one in the draft. And everybody on the team, nobody cared that she was getting all of the shots. Nobody. And that's what I see with this Tennessee basketball team. So I'm just going to tell you right now, as much as I like to pick on Tennessee, as much as I love the fact that Rick Barnes craps his pants every single year, this team might be different. Like, this team might win the national championship. And I haven't met a single Tennessee fan that I have told this to who hasn't been incredibly, well, I mean, I'm trying not to get my hopes up, and I understand. As a Braves fan, a Titans fan, I get it. But this is a very, very, very good basketball team. 615-737-1025, and they have earned my respect. And again, you know how I like to get on them. So if you got a thought on the Vols after Saturday, get it in. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Boy, they must be incredibly happy. They're proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. The Predators have won 8 in a row. The Vols are on fire, and Vandy Baseball had a great weekend down there in Houston. And that's good, because this month is Happy's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes at Hiller. Enter to win at hillergoldenticket.com. All you have to do is enter your email, and you're automatically entered to win. The prizes include a $5,000 Hiller gift card, a $1,000 Hiller gift card, or one of 10 Happy Hiller Club memberships. Take advantage of zero interest financing for 48 months on select new HVAC systems or 36 months on tankless water heaters and whole home generators. Do not miss out. Enter to win now. Again, that website is hillergoldenticket.com. Again, if you end up with one of those free Happy Hiller Club memberships, you will be happy, because I am a member of the Happy Hiller Club, and I love it. So that's hillergoldenticket.com. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
You've talked a lot about how this team is more than Dalton. Just how pleasing was it to win with everybody contributing the way they did tonight?
Well, we've got a lot of these guys that have been with us for a long time, and they've been in games like this. And obviously, you know, we've got the utmost respect for Nate and his staff and what he's done with this program and his time here. And we knew it was going to be a difficult game if we could stay in it for as long as we could, and knowing how explosive they can be. But Jemai Mashak and Santi and Josiah, guys that have been around for a long time, they made a lot of plays, especially defensively. Josiah getting on the glass, and you know, Z does what he does, but both teams had to deal with foul trouble early in the game. You know, we wanted to try to go inside as much as we could, but they did again a terrific job of warding that off. But our older guys were the ones that the guys that have been in these type situations were the ones that really stayed in there with us and helped us at the end.
Josiah Jordan James in his 10th season at Tennessee, along with Zakai Ziegler, who I think is in his 8th season, those guys really did help them out on Saturday night. So, I already said, I haven't watched Connecticut, Arizona, the Big East, Houston. So I can't tell you, like, is Tennessee the best team? I have no idea. I wouldn't be able to be, I couldn't tell you. But I do think this is a Tennessee team that can win it all. And if they blow it, so like if they get to the Elite Eight, Lenardi has them, at least yesterday when I looked at it, Lenardi had them as the second seed in the South region, where they would go to Dallas for the regional and they would play Houston. So if they play Houston and Dallas and they lose in the Elite Eight, well, they didn't reach the goal or they didn't max out what they were capable of. If, in fact, them maxing out is what I think them maxing out is, or what many of you probably think them maxing out is, that's one thing. But if they make it to the tournament and they end up getting beat by Nowhere State, I mean, I don't even think that I will enjoy this. And we're talking about somebody who 3 years ago, you know, discussed betting $1,000 on the money line for Oregon State to beat them straight up in the tournament. And then I was in tears when I didn't bet it and they lost. I mean, it just crushed me. So I'm looking at Lenardi's bracket right now. Apparently in the South region, which is where Tennessee would be, and they'd end up in Dallas. Let's say Lenardi's region, right? Tennessee beats Fairfield in the first round and would play Texas Tech in Charlotte. If they lose to seventh-seeded Texas Tech, and I don't know anything about Texas Tech, but if they lose to Texas Tech, that would be such an unmitigated heartbreak for Vols fans with this team And because I like watching this team play so much, I don't even think I could gloat about, I've told you guys every year about Rick Barnes. I don't even think I could enjoy doing that. Now, I will do that. You know, we will have another yearly referendum on Rick Barnes. But even for me, that'd be a little painful. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenneth says, I'm really curious how they could be a 2 seed and ranked number 4 in the country, especially playing in the SEC this year. Now, there are a lot of factors that go into this. There's the net rankings and all the other strength of schedule and whatever. So here's how it works, okay? They're number 4 in the country according to the AP. They are not the number 4 in the country according to the people who make that decision. At least we don't know if they are number 4 or not. In the Lenardi bracket, it seems to me like Houston would be the 4th seed and Tennessee would be the 5th seed. And I actually think that being the 5th seed and playing in Dallas against Houston would be better than being a 1 seed and having to go to Los Angeles and then making Arizona the number 2 seed out there, and now you're playing Arizona and L.A. Could be wrong, but I wouldn't get too caught up in that. But, man, it is a yearly thing where Tennessee fans just bitch about Joe Lenardi. I mean, I got Caroline's boyfriend texting me, who is one of the smartest guys I know on every subject except Tennessee sports. I mean, Ian, you know Dylan.
Yeah.
Smart dude. Successful dude. Like, big-time grad school, like, guru.
They got the orange glasses.
But, I mean, you get him talking about Tennessee, and it's like, sometimes I don't know how she does it. I'll be honest with you. But, I mean, he texted me the other day bitching about Lenardi. And it's a yearly thing where Tennessee fans just, I mean, they get so into, and it's always one spot. It's always one spot. It's never like Lenardi has us as a 4 and we think we should be a 2. It's always Lenardi has us as a 3 and we just won the SEC and he won't move us up to being a 2. Screw you, Lenardi. And then the committee comes out and they make him a 3. If Lenardi says you're a 2, it doesn't mean you're going to be a 2. But if Lenardi says you're a 2, it's not a bias against you that Lenardi has you as a 2. I'm just saying. Every time. This happens every year. One texter says the team that everybody wants to discount, even now, is South Carolina. Especially compared to the previous Volunteers who could do no wrong. That game in Columbia on Wednesday night, Jared, the Gamecocks have already beaten the Vols on the road. Just don't forget about the Garnet and Black, baby. They play excellent basketball. They are poised, and they play within themselves. Scott, I'll take your word on it. I know they're having a good season, and they're about to pay the coach a gazillion dollars, which for every school like mine, where half the fan base says, oh, you have to give the coach more time. It's like, nah, not at South Carolina. Caleb says this was an important win for the Vols. If Dalton Connect is having an off night, it's good to know that the Vols can come together and still beat a high-ranked team. See, I don't think that they can get through the tournament with Connect having an off night every night. I think he can have one off night in the tournament or run into one game plan, whereas one team's got just a great on-ball defender or just a great, you know, 6'7" guy with length who can cover Connect and make his life miserable, and then the other guys are going to have to pull it out. Just like how Michael Jordan wasn't the leading scorer in every Bulls playoff victory, he was just the leading scorer in most of them. But again, this is going to ride on Connect. And Connect really is. How did nobody know of this guy? At Scarbini State, where he was, and all of a sudden, he's going to go number 3 in the draft. How did that happen? Joe Burrow had a season at LSU where he went from a 6th-round pick to the number 1 pick. But people still knew who Joe Burrow was. I liked Joe Burrow as a quarterback when he was at LSU, and they were okay. And they were like an 8-win team before they had the year where they were incredible. Dustin in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, who I believe is a UK, oh no, this isn't about, I thought this was about, oh my God. I thought this was about the Vols. Dustin in Hopkinsville, Kentucky's a UK homer, so I thought Dustin was giving the Vols props because he misspelled cats. He said, heck the cars, and I now that I read this, I think he meant the cats. Heck, the Cats have gotten scary good lately. They're a team that could win it all. Our defense is legit. Don't be overlooking the Cats now, Jared. Okay. Sorry, Dustin, this ain't about you. Okay? This ain't about UK. I ain't worried about UK. I think Calipari is a bum. I think it's time for him to go. And all that other stuff, you do that on your own time. Texture says, do you think Connect will have problems with fouls in the tournament? He seems to be struggling a bit on defense. No, I do not. They do not call the game the same way in the tournament that they call it in the regular season. Cameron says, the Vols don't lose the first game. It's always the round of 32, and they've only gone one and done once. Well, that's why I said it. They're going to beat Fairfield, according to Lenardi's bracket. They're going to do that, but they're not going to, you know, again, like I think they're going to beat, you know, again, this is Lenardi's bracket. I think they're going to beat Texas Tech this year, but in the past, that's the kind of game that they'd screw up. That's all I'm going to say. Texter says, Tennessee fans don't care about basketball. That's why they said before Rick Barnes. Oh, that's what they said before Rick Barnes. Well, they care now, just like they care about baseball. And here's the thing. This is why Barnes is best coach at Tennessee. Like, this is, he is a perfect fit for Tennessee. And here's why. Because this time of the year, there's no football. And there's no football recruiting, really, and there's no football. And so Tennessee fans are distracted with basketball. Tennessee's good. And these games are great. And if Tennessee, let's say Tennessee does blow it, which I don't think is going to happen this year. I think this team's too good. But I'm not going to rule it out because, well, we've seen this with Tennessee time and time again. So let's say they lose to Texas Tech in the second round of the tournament. Then what will happen is Tennessee fans will be mad for 24 hours, and then they'll move on to baseball, which they just discovered 3 years ago. They didn't even know that that was a sport. It was America's pastime, but in Knoxville, they're like, what's this with sticks and the little white ball? And I mean, what are we? No, not golf. It's a different sport. And so they'll turn their attention to baseball, which they just discovered because they're good at it now, and on they go. Football, they'd be going nuts. But I don't think even the staunchest Tennessee basketball fan would tell you that they're not still a football school. I mean, come on now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We've got some breaking news out of the NFL that I think is the least surprising news of all time. We'll get to that coming up. Window Nation, that's right. I absolutely love Window Nation, and they're online at windownation.com. March is a critical time to check your home's windows. If your windows are cracked or leaking and they won't open or they won't stay open, when we have days like we've had the last couple of weeks where it was like 40 degrees and then it was like 70 degrees, and today is what I call a BT day, a boat teasing day, where it's too cold at this time of the year to go on the boat, but it's so nice outside that all I think about is how bad I want to go on the boat, that can be bad for your home. Because all of a sudden it's going to get cold at night and that cold air is going to come in and you're going to wake up in the middle of the night. You're going to have to crank your heat up. You're going to have to turn it down when you wake up. It's awful, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. So if you have those problems, you need to replace your windows right now. And lucky for you, Window Nation can do it, and they can do it for you and make it affordable. Right now, zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. And with that proven quality and service, there is no wonder why thousands have trusted Window Nation. And I trust Window Nation for one specific reason, because I brought Window Nation out to my home for the free in-home estimate, and they did not advise that I replace any of my windows. And you might say, Jared, why is that a big deal? It is because if they wanted to make the sale, they would have found something wrong. But they didn't. They're honest, and that's what I love about them. Again, zero down, zero interest, no payments for 24 months, and buy two windows, you'll get two windows for free. Do not miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule that free in-home estimate today.
So to that, you bring up the Broncos there, Charles. So how does Russell Wilson factor into all this? Will he be a starter this year, or what? How do you view what his future could look like in the league?
I think it's going to be similar to what we saw materialize over the course of last offseason. Like, let's see what chairs are left after, the combine, the free agency. He's not going to be in Denver. I don't know why I still see people are like, well, maybe they'll keep him. No, he's not going to be in Denver. I have no idea why that would even occur at this point. He doesn't want to be there. It's clear that the coaching staff wants to move on. I think it's going to depend on, again, when we look at those, second tier teams, where could he potentially fall? What opportunities are there? I still would not rule out, Washington, New England, maybe one of these teams. If Russ does not have a really big market, I would not rule out one of these teams potentially taking a quarterback and then fishing around Russ as a potential bridge.
That was Charles Robinson on Robbie and Rex Road, and the news is now official. Russell Wilson has been released by the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos saying in a statement today, "We spoke with Russell Wilson to inform him of his release after the start of the league year. On behalf of the Broncos, we thank Russell for his contributions and dedication to our team and community while wishing him the best as he continues his career. As we move forward, we are focused on building the strongest team possible for 2024 and beyond. We are all excited to improve this offseason. We have flexibility to get through the draft and free agency." So do you know what's very important there about that last line, Ian? Do you hear that? "We are excited to improve this offseason. We have flexibility to get through the draft and free agency." What's the note there?
The cap.
We'll be able to say, I know we're taking on $85 million in dead money, but we'll still be able to sign free agents. You want to know why, folks? You want to know why? Ian, why don't you tell the fine folks at home why?
Oh, please enlighten us.
Because cap's fake. Okay? Then I can't wait. I told Gentry Estes yesterday. I said, I hope. Now, it looks like Chris Jones is going to re-sign in Kansas City. But I hope the Saints or the Broncos or the Chargers or the Bills, one of these teams that just, Jared, the dead cap, how are they going to do it? I just hope one of these teams signs a marquee free agent. I do. Like signs Chris Jones or Christian Wilkins or, they're all gone now, right? Like they're all either tagged or Mike Evans signed today or whatever. I hope they sign a marquee free agent. Now, to Denver. Here's where it's important for us that Russell Wilson has been released. There's only so many quarterbacks to go around. And I think it's pretty obvious it's going to be 1, 2, 3 at the top, right? So it's going to be Caleb Williams, number one, Drake May, number two, Jaden Daniels, number three. I think it's that simple. I think that's what it's going to be. J.J. McCarthy supposedly knocked all these scouts dead this week with how well he did at the combine. I didn't see it, so I couldn't tell you about it, but that's the scuttlebutt. That there's a lot of talk that J.J. McCarthy's won a lot of people over and that he's the fourth quarterback. Now, Penix, there's mixed reviews. But to me, it's 3 plus 1. It's the three that are going 1, 2, 3, and McCarthy's going in the top 12. Whether or not you like it, and I don't necessarily do, just based off of what I saw him do at college, I have not evaluated the quarterback market, but I think McCarthy is for sure going within the top 12. Here's why Denver's important. Because Atlanta is at 8, Minnesota is at 11, Denver is at 12, the Raiders are at 13, New Orleans is at 14, and Seattle is at 16. And long-term, Ian, what do none of these teams have right now? Atlanta, Minnesota, Denver, the Raiders, New Orleans, and Seattle.
Quarterback.
A long-term quarterback. And where are you picking? In front of Atlanta at 8. So if it's 1, 2, 3... and there's one quarterback left, well, I'm at 7. And Atlanta's at 8. And if Atlanta doesn't sign Kirk Cousins, and I don't know if they will or if they don't, but if Atlanta doesn't sign Kirk Cousins and I am sitting there with that seventh pick, and everybody thinks Atlanta's waiting for a quarterback, and we know it's not going to be Desmond Ridder, and we know Terry Fontenot, the general manager who drafted Desmond Ridder, he's not going to stick with him. We know they're going to do something. If Atlanta pulls the trigger and everybody thinks they're going to go quarterback, all of a sudden, Minnesota, Denver, the Raiders, New Orleans, Seattle, you want to get to number seven, you better give me a fortune. And the further down you go, the more you got to give me. Because I'll probably be able to take Olu Fashanu with that seventh pick. I don't think Joe Walt's going to be available. I think Joe Walt has priced himself out of the market. I think he's gone before the seventh pick. But if I trade with Seattle at 16, I'm probably losing both tackles. And then I probably end up with a right tackle, you know, C.J. Latham or Guyton out of Oklahoma instead of my right tackle, which would be very, very concerning. So in order to get me to move, you're going to have to move heaven and earth in order to get that deal done. Like if Seattle were to call me and they were to want to move 16, they were going to want to move from 16 to 7 to draft J.J. McCarthy. If they were going to want to do that, you might have to include Charles Cross in the deal, your young right tackle. You may have to include that and give me your 16th pick and give me your second rounder next year. They'd never do that, but like that's what it would take. And so Denver today cutting Russell Wilson, that's not a surprise. Russ, once they fired Russ at the end of last year when they benched him, you knew it was over. At that point, there was no more going back. And so I don't know what happens next for Russell Wilson. I don't particularly care. I don't think he's very good. I think he's a pain in the ass. And I think he's got too big of a head. But I do think that Denver is now for sure looking quarterback. And I think for sure they're looking long term. And the only guy who might be available to them is McCarthy. And they may have to trade with you in order to get him. Lord, please let the Denver Broncos sign a high-end free agent this year so that I can shut Joe Rexroad and all them up with all these cap people out there. Oh, and by the way, congratulations to John Robinson. Titans Twitter has been going crazy about, we have the most dead cap money in the league. Oh, Jared, it's awful. John Robinson screwed us. Well, now Russell Wilson has more than doubled the amount of dead cap money that you are going to have, so maybe just quiet down. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A big fish literally has hit the market. Should the Titans be interested? We'll do that next. Stoneman & Company, 1025-1063, the game.
My number one thing is say adding playmakers to our team, whether that's offensively, defensively. Just looking to bring people in that love football, that want to be in our place. I mean, if you look at the way our coaching staff was built, we got, you know, some of the best coaches available. I think a lot of guys had other offers and could have been in other places but chose to be with us. And that's the talent part about who they are. But if you look at who they are as people and their passion for the game, I think it resonates and it's going to permeate throughout our locker room.
There you go. That was Rand Carthon saying, we want playmakers. Good. I want playmakers too. So today, Mike Evans, who according to Diana Russini, the Titans were interested in, Mike Evans re-signed in Tampa Bay. So if they were looking at playmakers, he is off the market. So how many other big-time playmakers are there that the Titans could potentially sign? It sounds like Chris Jones, my dream, Ian. Sounds like that's over. It sounds like he's going to re-sign in Kansas City, which I can't believe. How the F-minor onus, the F-minor owner, how the F-minus the F-minus owner. Why is that? I'm having such a hard time getting that out. I can't understand how the F-minus owner, who is a total cheap ass, and wouldn't pay Tyreek Hill, and wouldn't pay all these other guys, and wouldn't pay Chris Jones before the start of last season, when it would have lowered his cap hit. Why he wouldn't do that then, but I guess he'll do it now. Probably because Chris Jones helped win them another Super Bowl. And Jones is not as important as Mahomes, but he's pretty close. But there is a name that is now going on the market, and that is Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle from the Miami Dolphins. Now, I think the Dolphins are making a horrendous mistake here. The reason why the Dolphins are not franchising Christian Wilkins is because they're going to give Tua Tagovailoa $50 million a year, which if you've ever listened to this show, you know that I wouldn't do. But that's their business, not mine. Enter Christian Wilkins. See, Christian Wilkins, unlike Chris Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, and Danico Autry, he is a true straight-up DT. Like, that's what he is. He's pretty good. 9 sacks last year, and he's very consistent. And so people are texting into the text line, and they're saying, Jared, should the Titans go after Christian Wilkins? My answer is yes. According to Pro Football Focus, the expectation for Christian Wilkins is a 4-year, $100 million contract, which would be $25 million a season, with $67 million guaranteed. So 2.5 years, basically guaranteed, of a $100 million contract. Why would I not do that? Again, if I was going to give Chris Jones $32, $34, $35 million, why would I not give Christian Wilkins, who had 9 sacks last season and would be just, again, another wrecking ball next to Jeffrey Simmons, why would I not give him $25 million a season? And on top of it, I mean, when it comes to the PFF grades, Christian Wilkins might actually be a better player than Jeffrey Simmons. You know, Simmons, according to PFF last year, had a 68.4 grade. Wilkins was 74.9. The year before, Simmons was 81. Wilkins was 85. The year before, Simmons was 71. Wilkins was 83. So Wilkins actually, according to Pro Football Focus, grades out better than Jeffrey Simmons. He also has better pass rush grades than Jeffrey Simmons. So while, again, we talked last week about the idea of whether or not, you know, would Jeffrey Simmons be okay if Chris Jones came in and made way more money than him, the similar argument can be made for Wilkins. The thing the Titans have to do is the Titans have to be big game hunting. The Titans have to be going after good players. See, that cut from Rand right there was not, we're interested in run-of-the-mill guys that you could probably get on the third week of free agency. I thought Chris Moore had a good season last year for the Titans. I think Chris Moore is a solid player. But you ain't going to get better by adding Chris Moore. Right, ESPN had a report from the Combine, and it was a loose report more than it was, I'm hearing the Titans are really interested in Darnell Mooney, but there has been talk from ESPN, it was Graziano and Jeremy Fowler, that were writing about, hey, we're hearing the Titans could be interested in Darnell Mooney, and I guess they were hearing that the Titans could be interested in C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Well, here's the problem with that. Darnell Mooney's not very good, right? Like, again, when I went over the free agent board yesterday, I did do a deep dive into Darnell Mooney. And some of this might be Justin Fields' fault for not being very good. But, you know, Darnell Mooney is a slot receiver. He played 65% of the slot and only had 3 deep receptions in 2023. He drops the football. He's got a quarterback rating of 56.2 when he's targeted. I mean, he had 13 deep targets last season. You are not a Darnell Mooney away from competing. If you want a slot receiver, go sign Tyler Boyd. But I don't even think you're a Tyler Boyd away from being able to compete. So, again, when it comes to Darnell Mooney, you can go get a Darnell Mooney whenever you want. When it comes to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, have you seen the free agent safety market? It's like everybody in the league has realized safety's not that valuable, and they're cutting them all, and they're all going to be available, and you can wait until week 3 of free agency to go out and get the guy you want to pair with Amani Hooker. Those guys are not going to get the Titans back into relevance. Good players are going to get the Titans back to relevance, and it starts in the draft, and I know that, and so do all of you, but again, you can't spend all year bragging about cap space and say, oh, fans, have faith because we've got cap space. We've got the best relationship GM there is out there, and we've got cap space. What's the message there? The message is we are going to get good players this year. You can't come home with Darnell Mooney. You got to come home with Chris Jones or Mike Evans or Christian Wilkins, or you got to go get a good player. And so, again, not that I've watched the tape, so I can't tell you what I've seen myself, but based off the PFF data, Christian Wilkins is a better player than Jeffrey Simmons. So why would I not want to pair Jeffrey Simmons with a player who is better than Jeffrey Simmons? Why would I not want to do that? And let me just say this for everybody out there. Can we please stop making excuses for the Titans? I have heard more pre-apologizing or pre-excuse making for the Titans than I have heard for anything, I think, ever. It's like Titan fans are just expecting to have their hearts broken in free agency, to be completely let down by the organization when they spent all year, October on, talking about cap space, cap space, cap space. And now it's like, oh, Jared, we can't spend all the money in one place, Jared. We have to plan for the future. We can't sign any good players. Why? Stop making excuses for them. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. So I did start the free agency board. And there is one thing that came of this that, quite frankly, I don't like it, but it's reality. It's not what I want to be true, but it is what is true. And we'll get to that next. Stillman & Company right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I promised that we would be giving away a pair of tickets for the Predators and the Montreal Canadiens earlier today in the show. And I gave you guys a special keyword to listen for. So if you were listening, and you're listening now, be the first caller at 615-737-1025, and you've got to give Ian that keyword. And if you give Ian that keyword, you will be seeing the Predators take on the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. And it is college night with fans from Austin Peay showing their pride as part of the college theme night series with themed tickets, including a branded college and Preds hat. Good luck on that. We'll see you at the game tomorrow. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.